I'm done with this. If you guys are doing that, I am done. You can hold me in contempt from now until the cows come home. This is just typical behavior.
We will go off the record.
We all are abiding by the same rules.
I will take that down.
Yeah,
so,
well.
I would like to take a break at this moment.
Yeah,
I'd like to have
a conversation for now.
Well, it was supposed to be a closed-door deposition. Instead, it turned into a bit of political theater when Hillary Clinton sat down before the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee. Lawmakers were expected to press her about her family's past proximity to Jeffrey Epstein. But newly released video shows something far more combustible. Questions about Pizzagate, more on that later, a leaked photo from inside the room, and a hand slammed on the table, what you've just heard, and Clinton walking it out in fury. On tape, she says she doesn't remember ever meeting Epstein and pointed investigators straight back to her husband, Bill Clinton. We hear the moment Republicans push her on his flights aboard Epstein's plane and her blunt acknowledgement that it was unfortunate. What unfolds, I think, was less of a fact-finding mission and more a partisan collision with sharp exchanges involving Republicans Lauren Boebert and Nancy Mace, exposing just how explosive the Epstein investigation has become. Today, we're going to take you inside the room, unpacking the new revelations from the recordings, the political stakes, and really what this clash tells us about where, if anywhere, the Epstein probe goes next. It's News Talk Daily. I'm Ciara Doherty. And for years now, Jeffrey Epstein's connections to powerful figures have fueled investigations and conspiracy theories that have gone to shape modern politics, perhaps more than any other single event since 9/11. So far, though, the biggest casualties, in fact, some could say the only casualty in public life, has been on this side of the Atlantic. In what may, and I do stress may, be the most brazen act of political, look over there, Donald Trump has repeatedly urged reporters and investigators to examine the former president's relationship with Epstein. So what do we know about the Clintons and their links to Epstein? Well, Bill Clinton took several trips, we know, on Epstein's private jet in the early 2000s. Flight logs display that. But he's denied any knowledge of Epstein's crimes. The House Oversight Committee decided to question both Bill and Hillary Clinton, despite the former First Lady insisting she had no relationship ever with Epstein. The Clintons wanted the hearings to be in public, but lawmakers opted for closed-door depositions. And now, bizarrely, we have these recordings. Is what we can all now watch freely ourselves on YouTube a genuine attempt to untangle Epstein's web of influence? Well, I'm joined now by Carol Coleman. Carol teaches journalism at the University of Galway, but you might remember her better as the former RTE Washington correspondent. And Carol, you are so very welcome to News Talk Daily.
Thank you, Ciara. Delighted to be with you.
So, look, this is really quite something, isn't it? A former president of the United States of America and a former Secretary of State and, of course, First Lady being questioned under oath by a congressional committee. Let's start there.
It is, and it's unprecedented. And of course, the reason for this is because this is a Republican-controlled committee. And many critics of what we see here would say that this is just a big opportunity on behalf of the Trump administration to embarrass the Clintons. Now, anyone who's following this story, I suppose, you know, from a distance, the way we all would from day to day, and bear in mind, there's so much news to follow right now that this is kind of not top of the list. We would have been expecting some kind of fireworks or big revelations from this, given what we've heard before. But I think coming out of it, you're seeing that it is a little bit of a nothing burger, not completely, a little bit of a nothing burger. Let's look first at what the committee is here to do. This House Oversight Committee, it's here to look at the federal government's enforcement of sex trafficking laws in the United States and the prosecutions of Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. And what they're looking at specifically is mismanagement of the federal government investigation into the two of them, and bearing in mind now that he is now dead. Also, the operation of sex trafficking rings. Also, the ways that Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell sought to curry favor to protect themselves. And finally, their relationship with various people, including the Clintons. But from the very start, when Hillary Clinton went in and made her opening statement, she's saying, "I don't know why I'm here," she says. "I don't really understand why I'm here. I've told you I don't know Jeffrey Epstein. I never met Jeffrey Epstein. I never rode on his plane. I was never in any of his homes. I was never in any of his offices. Why am I here?" And then she kind of goes on to say, "The reason I'm here is that you're supposed to be investigating the Justice Department failed prosecution against Jeffrey Epstein back in 2008 when he was let off with a slap on the wrist. That's the real reason. Why aren't you doing that? Why aren't you bringing in the people who you have listed here as having links to Jeffrey Epstein?" And then she goes on to, again, over the course of the coming hours, answer questions seemingly in a very straightforward manner, but of course losing her cool now and again because she just disagrees with the premise of her being there in the first place.
"Whenever he is worried about being found out himself, he accuses somebody else of doing what he actually has done. And it's just a pattern with him. So it's no surprise to me that all of a sudden what he promised in his campaign to reveal everything about the files. And then when his people began looking in the files and realized how potentially incriminating they were of him, all of a sudden, that was no longer the focus. It was blaming Democrats, talking about a hoax, saying, 'Move on, there's nothing to see here.' That is a typical pattern of President Trump's behavior, which speaks louder than all the words that he speaks and all of the Truth Social posts that he makes."
She did definitely seem irritated at times. Do you think that was genuine frustration, genuine anger, or could it be deft political skill, which she certainly has, from someone who has spent 30 years dealing with what she sees as political theatre from the opposition?
I think it's the latter. You know, Hillary Clinton, you can throw anything at Hillary Clinton at this stage. I mean, she's been through, as you say, 30 years of political theater, political chaos, political embarrassment, personal embarrassment. She has grown a very thick skin at this point. She's also comes very prepared for everything she does. And that was a feature of Hillary Clinton right throughout her career, from being in the White House with her husband to being the senator from New York to being the Secretary of State. She prepares. So it did ring true when she said, "I have no connection with any of these people that you're talking about. There was a list read out. Do you know so-and-so? Did you ever talk about Jeffrey Epstein to so-and-so?" And I can go through some of the names on the list. George Mitchell is in there. Ehud Barak is in there. Summers is in there. Huma Abedin, who, of course, was Clinton's sort of right-hand woman there in her latter years of being in politics. And she is definitely very frustrated that this is political theater and that the Clintons are being brought in to embarrass them. However, she doesn't answer any questions when asked about her husband, which is interesting.
And it's also worth, I think, reminding listeners at home that she is no stranger to these congressional committees either. She once endured an 11-hour hearing, in 2015 before a Select House committee investigating the Benghazi attacks. So she's not going to be in any way threatened, I think, or overwhelmed by that environment.
I don't think so, but it does look as if she doesn't really have very much to tell here. And I think that's also playing into her hand, that she can sort of be honest and say, "Well, look, you're asking me to comment about whether I ever spoke to people who I didn't even know. How could I have spoken to somebody about Jeffrey Epstein or Ghislaine Maxwell when I'm telling you I didn't even know? Some of the people," she said on the list, "I've never even heard of. Doug Band, they had heard of because he worked with the Clintons. Noam Chomsky," she kind of tittered or sort of laughed when that name was read out. There was Andrew Mountbatten Windsor. No, she'd never spoken with him. Bill Gates, she'd kind of laughed, going, "No, I've never spoken to those people. I've heard of these people." And as a listener, I kind of did feel for her, thinking, yeah, I kind of know where she's coming from. Yes, I've heard of these people, but that does not mean that there is any connection between me, them, and consequently Jeffrey Epstein. This is kind of ridiculous what you're asking me to answer here.
Yeah, let us go through some of what we did see at that deposition. One of the most bizarre areas, I think, that they went was, and she was quite, I think, aghast herself in response to the series of questions that came regarding the supposed intersection between the Pizzagate theory and the Epstein files.
Your question is about whether or not she has reviewed any emails in the Epstein release files about Pizzagate.
Correct.
Pizzagate was totally made up. It was an outrageous allegation that ended up hurting a number of people, that caused a deranged young man to show up with his assault rifle and shoot up a local pizzeria. I can't believe you're even referencing it. You should be...
There are connections to the language.
Well, the QAnon people believe there are. So
I don't know what QAnon people believe.
Have at it.
What Hillary Clinton was very clear about in relation to trafficking was that her record right throughout her career basically was the exact opposite. She said, I passed the first legislation against sex trafficking. She said, my husband Bill signed it into law. As Secretary of State, she said she approved federal prosecutions to ramp up anti-trafficking efforts, and she oversaw 171 anti-trafficking programs across the world as Secretary of State. So again, she was kind of laying her record on the table and saying, and you're asking me to do I know anything about the crimes of Jeffrey Epstein? Again, what she was saying was kind of, don't insult me. Here's my record. Here's what I stand for. So again, politics, politics, politics.
And there was this other very bizarre moment. It was this major flare-up when Bobarts, who we mentioned a couple of minutes ago, briefly derailed this deposition after it became apparent that she had taken a photo of Hillary Clinton and leaked this photo to an online far-right influencer who then put it up on social media. And again, we should point out this is meant to be a closed-door deposition. Did this leak, do you think, really reinforce the idea that this whole hearing was a political spectacle, that it didn't actually have a huge amount of credibility, and that it wasn't actually going to do anything to further the supposed investigation of this committee?
I think it did. I think it was quite damaging. And at the beginning of the deposition, they did talk about leaking material. So the people inside had been warned that this was not to happen. So again, but it is part of the political theatre that happens when we witness these committees, these type of impeachments, things do get out. And we know that is not unusual. So yeah, she became very mad because again, it's like, why are you dragging me in here to put me through again this kind of, I suppose, humiliation when it's obviously plain that I personally have nothing to tell you. What I thought was very interesting was when she was asked about Bill, and she was asked, when you saw your husband in those other photos with the young woman being massaged, what went through your mind? Miss Mace asked her that, and she says, I'm not going to speculate, she says very coolly. And another occasion when she was asked about the use of the airplanes, Bill's use of the Epstein airplane for travel during their work on the Clinton Foundation, she just very calmly said, you're going to have to ask him about that. And when I was listening to it, Kira, I just kind of, I had echoes of, do you remember a few weeks back when Melinda French Gates came out after Bill Gates was named in the Epstein files? And she did a podcast about it, which is quite unusual for her to do anything on her personal life and her relationships. I got the feeling that she was kind of almost, I don't want to put this wrong, but almost very willing to dump those questions into Bill's lap and say anything that's coming out now is a question for Bill Gates. And Hillary did the same with her Bill. Any of this that's coming out now in relation to who went where on what plane or who knew what or who met who on what date, that's a question for my husband. So even though the two of them clearly have had their very, very difficult times over the years, right, going back to Bill Clinton's impeachment hearings over the Monica Lewinsky scandal, Bill and Hillary Clinton have survived as a couple. They still live in Chappaqua together. They're still a pair at the minute. These depositions were taken at a hotel very close to their home in Chappaqua. But they clearly have an agreement that whatever you were up to, Bill, that is your problem and you talk about that. And I thought that was classy.
Yeah, it was interesting to say that. She kept saying, you'll have an opportunity to speak to him. You'll have an opportunity to speak to him. I'm not going to comment on anything that I don't have context for. You'll have an opportunity to speak to him. It was really reinforcing the idea that this was fundamentally his association and not hers. So did we learn actually anything useful, do you think, in terms of what it is that the committee is trying to establish?
Well, if you go over to Bill Clinton's deposition, and he was a little harder to hear, you know, his voice has become kind of more and more raspy as the years go on. The most interesting part of his, I thought, was when he was asked about taking the flights on the Epstein plane to places like Asia and Africa and how this came about. So he's the head of the Clinton Foundation, which was based up there, I think, in New York. He's obviously trying to get in money for these various programs that he's working on, very much like the Bill Gates. This seems to be all a nexus of philanthropy, politics, celebrity. This is where Epstein seemed to like to dwell. He was asked, how did it come about that you were on the flights? And the quid pro quo for offering the flights, plus I think Bill Clinton, if I heard him correctly, he said $7 million for the programs, was that Epstein would have an hour of the president's time or two on the long leg of the flights to talk about politics and economics, that he was a very curious person and that he loved to talk politics and economics.
Were you ever in the position to owe Jeffrey Epstein a favor?
I didn't consider that. I thought we had an understanding about the airplanes, that he would let me use the airplane to set up my AIDS programs around the world. If I'd agreed to talk to him for an hour about economics and politics on every long leg.
And I don't know, I think you do when you listen to it. If you were a prosecutor and you were looking where to go, there are maps that you can draw between some of the various individuals that are mentioned. And you can start to maybe form a picture of a man who had his hands in so many different pies, Epstein I'm talking about here now. And what it is that he was looking for. He clearly wanted to dwell at the epicenter of political power, of, like I said, celebrity. There was people like Woody Allen. There was other actors involved. There was big media people. There was Alan Dershowitz, people like John Podesta. These are all names that were put to Bill Clinton each time, except I think in one instance, Doug Band, he said, I never spoke to any of these people about Epstein. But Epstein clearly trying to get into the center of power. And then if you look at some of the other stuff that's come out, maybe the cameras and stuff that are down into these places, you have your party, people who might be have a bit of a weakness in that area. And we know that Bill Clinton is somebody who's had his troubles in terms of relationships and stuff. You take photographs and then you have what you need to get what you want. So if you're a prosecutor, you might be looking at how this all came about. But that's just, you know, me speculating from what I've heard and seen.
Just remind News Talk Daily listeners, Carol, of the evidence within the Epstein files that suggests that there was this relationship, ongoing relationship. Doesn't necessarily point to any wrongdoing, but says, yes, there was a relationship here.
Yeah, well, it's basically that he took 4 to 5 flights with him. I think there may have been more mentioned in the Epstein files, but Bill said today that he took maybe about 4, 5, 6 flights with him. He claims that he did not visit his place on the island, that he said he was not down on the island. He said he saw nothing suspicious during his interactions with Epstein.
Did you ever witness Mr. Epstein sexually abuse or assault young women or girls?
No.
Did you ever witness Mr. Epstein receive massages from young women or girls?
Not that I recall.
Did Mr. Epstein ever discuss sexual acts of any kind with you?
No.
Did you ever have any sexual contact with young women or girls in the presence of Epstein or Maxwell?
No.
Did you ever have sexual contact with any young woman or girl introduced to you by Epstein or Maxwell?
No.
Did you ever visit Epstein's Little St. James Island?
No.
He does not elaborate on those interactions. He thinks he first met him in 1993 at a White House event for people who had donated money for sort of the renovation and the historical upkeep of the White House. So it does seem that the relationship may, you know, it could be 33 years old if you go back to 1993, or come together a lot later than that. The story about how they met Ghislaine Maxwell was interesting as well, because she was the boyfriend of a man called Mr. Waite, I think, and he was a tech millionaire who had been invited to Chelsea Clinton's wedding in 2010. And I know some of this has come out before and this is in the files. Ghislaine Maxwell was brought along to the wedding as his plus one. And when questioned about that, both Bill and Hillary did seem to suggest that they knew Ghislaine better than they knew Jeffrey Epstein, that they would have had maybe a few more, and I won't call them meetings. They said they were not friends or anything, but they would have had a bit more contacts with them. And again, it was through the foundation. Apparently, Ghislaine was very interested in what the Clintons were doing with their global initiative. But again, Hillary Clinton, you know, kind of made it clear these two people didn't operate on their own. And why isn't this committee going after and looking for the people who are around them and facilitating what was going on?
And he was also asked about the photographs. There's photographs of him in a swimming pool with Ghislaine Maxwell and another person. There's another very clear photograph of Bill Clinton in a hot tub with another individual whose face is blurred. He was asked about those photographs. He said he didn't recall them being taken. And he was asked then about his dealings with Donald Trump around the time. He said that Donald Trump would come out and join him on the golf club the odd time, and that because they both had this relationship with Jeffrey Epstein, it did come up in conversation.
Now, he did not drop Trump in anything. He said that when they met on the golf course, and it must have been about 20 years ago, that Trump told him that he had finished his friendship with Epstein, that he had fallen out with him over a property deal. And that's what Donald Trump has always said. So Bill Clinton certainly didn't get Trump into any trouble there during his deposition. Hillary Clinton, on the other hand, did say a number of occasions, why aren't you going after the person who's named thousands of times in the Epstein files? And that was clearly a reference to Trump. And again, you're looking at this as a political event. You know, this committee is run by Republicans at the moment. If that were to change after an election and Mr. Comer becomes the second in command and the Democrat from California is running the committee, who knows? They may be able to ask Donald Trump to come in and speak for himself.
Yeah, and that has been the call, wasn't it, from Hillary Clinton for Trump to be subpoenaed to testify under oath in the probe. But you'd have to think if the Democrats did get control of this committee after the midterms, were able to bring in Trump, it could potentially be just as partisan again. And that's a real problem here, isn't it, Carol?
Yeah, it is very hard to get, I suppose, anything to stick on Donald Trump, although many will look at the situation today and say, well, what lens is he going to perhaps divert attention from this? But you could say that, I suppose, any week in America these days, because there's huge stories every week coming out of the Trump administration. So every week you could repeat, oh, he's doing this to take attention off the Epstein files. I think eventually that does start to lose a little bit of currency. There are other things going on in the world. But if he is playing a game whereby he remains untouched, he's playing it pretty well. And the question I have is, you know, Jeffrey Epstein is dead, so there can be no more prosecutions of himself. Ghislaine Maxwell is already in jail. She has not been offered anything that would have her come out and give up more information. She had sort of said if she was given immunity and if she was let out that she might be able to do something, but that was not on offer. So as far as she's concerned, she doesn't remember anything. So will there be other prosecutions in this case and where will they come from? And I suppose if you really care about the victims, or if you are one of the victims, that's really all that matters, isn't it? So this Justice Department, very unlikely to do anything more at this stage. You know, it's hardly going to investigate itself and what it did back in 2008. So where do the prosecutions come from here on out? Will there ever be justice for the victims in this case? And I suppose only in the sense now that the Clintons have come out and they have done this big thing of taking these seats at these deposition hearings in Chappaqua, maybe they're kind of rolling out a path that says to others, you guys need to do the same now, especially if your names are on that list.
We will see. As you say, the whole point was that this was meant to understand Epstein's power and whether or not he really had links to governments. But time and time again, it just feels like an opportunity for the opposition to take a pop at the other side. Well, Carol Coleman, thank you so much for being my guest here on News Talk Daily.
Thank you very much, Kira.
That's it from Wednesday's podcast. Remember, you can listen back to this and every episode on the Go Loud Player or wherever it is that you get your podcast. Until tomorrow morning, from me, Kira Doherty. Goodbye.